If you're not Christ-like in your house, in your home, on the road, when you go to visit, in the church, in the plains of Africa, I don't care where you are. If you're not the church there, if you're not acting Christ-like, you're not a Christian.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Jeremiah asks three questions in this verse, and they are important questions, not only to the people of that day, but to the people of this day. And he begins by saying, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Is there no balm in Gilead? My brothers and sisters, Jeremiah is speaking to the people of God. He is distraught by what he sees, the condition of the people of God. When he speaks about the daughter of his people, he's talking about the people of God, the specific chosen people of God. He uses the term daughter, but he's talking about a place and people that belong to God. And he's sent there to not only see the circumstances and the situations of that day, but to minister to them and to tell them what thus saith the Lord, to show them and to share some reality as to why they're in the condition and the position that they're in. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, how sin can get such a hold on us that we don't realize we've fallen as far as we have. Sometimes we don't know how strong the hole is until we try to get out of it. And so Jeremiah is here sharing with the people of God some realities, because one of the things that I think we need to recognize is whenever we're not ready to come out of sin, we want to always blame somebody else. We never want to see the picture for what it is. We never want to admit our wrong, our misgivings, our evil deeds, our doings. We never want to let go of the things that we take pleasure in. But Jeremiah is being as real and as raw as one can be to bring the reality of the fact that the people were in the predicament that they were in because of their sin. Now the Bible says, and you'll do well to read verses 1 through 21 as we get to this verse 22, to actually see in verse 21, he starts talking about he's so disturbed until he's black, which meant he is filled with mourning and he's filled with dismay and he's overly filled with emotions of disgust behind the condition of the people of God. And so he goes on and says in verse 22, is there no balm? Now let me stop right there. The word balm, B-A-L-M, it meant a salve, an ointment. It's a healing property found in Gilead. Gilead was east of Jordan, north of Moab. It was a mountainous region with many life-giving trees that emitted resin or sap, if you want to call it, from them that had great healing properties, but many other uses as well. And so you'll discover that Gilead was a place known for all of these wonderful things. And these properties, healing properties, the salve and the balm that came from Gilead was for that specific area, found nowhere else. And so these indigenous realities found only in this place made Gilead a very special place. People came from around the world to get the healing balm of Gilead. Gilead was three things. It was a promised place. When God promised to give the people, his chosen people, the promised land, Gilead was one of the cities in that promise that God made to his people. God knew that his people would need such a place to deal with their sickness, deal with their healings. And so he gave Gilead as a part of the promised land to the people of God. But not only was Gilead a promised place, but it was a prized place. Because what you needed to know was everybody wanted Gilead. The enemies wanted Gilead. The sick wanted Gilead. The profiteers wanted Gilead. Gilead was a prized place. But then thirdly, I need to tell you, Gilead was a profitable place. Because not only of its balm that made medicinal realities true, but also for monetary properties associated with that. It was a rich product. And again, people came from around the world to use the properties of the balm. Now, here is the interesting thing. The people of Gilead had all of this healing balm in their midst, and was still sick. Still broken, still hurt. And so Jeremiah uses this physical demonstration to point out a spiritual reality. He's dealing with them on this level because he's recognizing that they are in a place where what they are suffering from should not be. Now he asks the question, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, is there no medicine in the medicine closet or cabinet? Something is wrong when the place of healing has no medicine in it. He's asking this question because the only reason why the people ought to still be hurting and still be broken and still be in sin and still be hurting is if there is no balm in Gilead. In other words, it's just like any other place that has not the properties of Gilead's balm. But here he's saying, wait a minute, this is clearly a rhetorical question. It's rhetorical because he's looking at the balm producing trees. He knows the balm is still there, fruitful and plenteous to each and every one who would need it. But why are they not using it? Then he goes further. He says, is there no physician there? Because here's what he adds to the equation. You know, sometimes you can have medicine, and if you don't know how to use it, it won't work for you. That's why the prescription is prescribed by a physician or one who knows how to best take the medicine. Take too much of it, and it'll take you out of here. Take not enough of it, and it doesn't take care of the problem. So a physician was one who was necessary to administer the instructions on how to deal with the bomb. Let me throw this out parenthetically. There are so many people right here in our day and time with both the medicine and the doctors and are still walking around here sick. I'll tell you one of the reasons why, and the main reason why, is because they won't get checked out. They won't go and get screened. They won't go and see what their issues are. They haven't had an examination. They haven't had, you know, any yearly tests. Are y'all getting quiet on me here? Can I tell you, the body is amazing. It is amazing. Listen, the body can deal with things that you are unaware of, and the body is able to adapt to things that would blow your mind. But listen at this. You don't realize that high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, all of those things are silent killers. You can feel good to a great degree and still be doing harm underneath the skin. See, your body is made literally, if you give it what it needs, to heal itself. But what you don't understand is if you don't give it, it starts pulling from different areas of your body, taking from it and using what it can to make it work for as long as it can. But then stuff start wearing out when you don't give it, because it can only use what it has to work with. And so many of us don't even realize what's going on underneath the skin because we won't see a doctor. I know I'm talking to somebody in the house today. Go get a physical. Go get a checkup. You say you feel good. You say you are healthy. You say all is well. Let the doctor confirm it. I'm speaking especially to some of our saints who are holier than thou. Ooh,
ain't no pain. No sickness live here. Okay. I jog, I eat well, I do this, I do that. Go to the doctor, get checked out. Because there are things that can live underneath the skin that you're not aware of until they have done irreparable damage. Is there no physician? These were two rhetorical questions, because the answer was yes, there is a bomb, and yes, there are physicians. But they chose not to use either one. But the third question was not rhetorical. It was reaching. It was searching. It was one cause for people to look at themselves in the mirror. Look at what he said. Why then is there no health for the daughter of my people? Listen at this. He was saying, if you all are saying all is well, then why is not it evident in the people? The priests, the prophets, they were all messed up with the sins and the situations and the politics of that time and that day, and they were not honoring God or God's word. They were being bought out and paid out by those who would not want the true message to go forth. They didn't tell the people what the people needed to hear and needed to know, and thereby they themselves rejected the word of God. The people had the law, but they wouldn't abide by the law. And so he asked the question, why isn't she recovered? Recovered. And I wondered why it didn't say restored rather than recovered. But he uses the word recover because it means to bring back to a whole place of health. Why isn't she brought back to a whole place, a right place of healthiness? If you've taken the bomb, if you've seen the doctor, why aren't you healthy? He was not talking about just the flesh. His message was far deeper than that. He used that illustration to talk about the spirit. Because you had healthy folk walking around there, broken in their spirit, sick in their spirit, messed up in their spirit, and they had the word of the Lord. They had what God wanted them to have to be perfectly whole inside and out. So he asked the question, why are they not recovered? May I suggest just three verses out of these verses before, and you can almost look at most of them that tell the story, besides the other ones that tell you what God's going to do to them. Let's look at verse 5, because verse 5, if you look at that, it's telling you that one of the reasons why they cannot be recovered is because there is no remorse and no repentance. See, when you get to the point where you too big to feel sorry for the wrong that you've done. See, when you get to the point where you don't feel you need to ask God for forgiveness, when you get to the point where you don't need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for this or to forgive you for that or to strengthen you and to help you to do, but to have mercy on you, when you get to that point where you have no remorse, you are not going to repent. And the devil is going to do greater damage to you because you think you're all of that. And see, the problem is God's hand moves slow, but what you forget is it moves sure. And the only reason why he doesn't, with a quick temper, get rid of you the moment you sin, the moment you mess up, the moment you act like you don't belong to him, the reason he doesn't do it quickly is because he's giving you time to repent and get yourself together. See, and the problem with so many of God's people is they have eased into sin until the sin has gotten so comfortable that they done forgot this. You know, they keep on doing, but they start saying, well, you know, God know my heart, and he know I ain't through with this yet, so that's why I don't pray and ask him forgiveness, because he know I'm going to do the same thing, fool. See, if the devil can keep you from repenting, he can keep your heart, your mind, your spirit from being sensitive to the presence of God. And so the more you keep away from repenting and feeling remorseful, the deeper the devil brings you down. Come on, when I get myself together, then I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. You might be dead and gone by then. Because the devil knows your plan. And so they were too wicked. They didn't have any remorse. And they didn't repent. Well, just look at verse 9. And you're going to discover here that these wise folk, listen at this, they had no reverence nor respect for the word of God. They had the word. They knew the word. But they didn't use the word. They didn't live by it. Don't that sound like a whole lot of church folk? You know the Bible says love, and yet you go around hating. You go around treating one another like you are not brothers and sisters of the same God. You go around acting as though you are all of that, but there is no love of God flowing from you to help others who are weak, to help others who are wronged, to help others to see the light in the best way, and yet you think you're all of that? You got the word. You know what thus saith the Lord. You know what thus saith the Lord. And won't do it. Let me get off the moral issues and just jump on one. You know the Lord say, bring all the tithe. I'm sorry, I done gone to meddling and stop preaching to some of y'all. But you won't do it. Because why? You got bills to pay. And you can't make ends meet now. I know you don't know that you're under a curse. That's why you can't pay him. Because when you don't give God his, he's going to make sure you understand you're not under his protective arm. And listen at this. When you don't treat God right, then who are you going to treat right? Because here's the answer. It don't matter who you treat right if you don't treat God right, because things are not going to work out right for you. But you might say, well, you know, I'm living comfortable. I'm living good. Yeah, but you got to realize you're living today for tomorrow. Yeah. And if you don't get it right over here, your tomorrow is not going to end up well. I didn't think I'd get many amens on that part. But everywhere you know what thus saith the Lord and don't do it, it shows you don't have any reverence and respect for his word. You reject it. You say, no, I don't need this. I can make it by myself. I can do it on my own. But God knows better. Then you look at verse 11. And you're going to see here there is no rescue and no recovery because the priests, prophets, are shouting peace, peace,
when there is no peace. In other words, what they're doing is putting a Band-Aid on a broken heart and telling them you're going to be all right. Telling them it's okay when they are broken, when they are in need of some serious attention, some serious healing, some serious deliverance. But because they're caught up in their own things and they don't attend to the people and their hurts and their pains and their heartaches and their heartbreaks, because they aren't giving to them what they need, they're using words that sound good. That's why you got to be careful about all of these cliches in church, about all of this stuff that sounds good but have no biblical basis. Oh, it's stuff, you know, that people get a hold of. Oh, favor, favor, favor. Just shout favor and folks just, ah! I want favor. I want favor. Well, you know what? Favor don't just happen a happenstance. People don't understand that the favor of God is something that you qualify for. They don't understand that I've got the favor of God on my life, not because it just happened to fall on me, but I put myself in position. I've given him what he's asked for. I'm living by his word, and every day I expect the favor of the Lord to be. I know I'm here by his favor, by his mercy, and by his grace. I knew if the devil could have taken me out, he would have taken me out. You've got to know the word of God and operate in the word of God and know that God is going to back up his word. You don't need all these little sayings and stuff like that that make you feel good for a moment, but there is no reality in it for you. They walk around talking about shalom, shalom. But there is no peace. That's why Jesus say, the peace I give you is not like the world. I don't talk that talk. The peace I give you is real and everlasting. And it moves beyond all understanding. The peace he gives us comes from he who is the Prince of Peace. That's the real peace. Not just the word, peace out. Yeah, it sure is out. What you need is peace in. That comes from Jesus. Are y'all gonna hear me today?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Apostle Broadnax and the intercessory prayer team is ready to pray the prayer of faith for you.